Good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. Great to be together for another week and another day. We're going to be opening up God's Word again to see what God has to say for another day. We're going to be turning through to Matthew chapter 27 and considering the burial of Jesus. But before we read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would bless it to us. Please use it to nourish us and feed us that we might know you better, that we might love you more, and that we might be your faithful children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 56. Sorry, 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb, and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. I'm not sure if you've watched the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit movies, but there's this one story which is really interesting and casts an interesting light on what this situation must have been like. In the Lord of the Rings, you are introduced, if you haven't read the books, you're introduced to the 9 black riders, and they are covered in black clothes and ride these very intimidating looking horses. Later in the movie, they fly on these dragon looking things. And in The Hobbit, you get the backstory of where they came from and how it is that they came to be who they are. And in fact, we discover that they are 9 dead kings of old. And these 9 dead kings of old served the evil Sauron. And they were buried in the tomb. They were buried in tombs, in a mountain, deep underground, locked in their tombs, locked, like the graves are locked, and then the graves, tombs are locked from the outside, and then they're put in this really hard to manage building. And then in The Hobbit, we see Gandalf going there. And as Gandalf goes there, he has to walk up this precarious staircase, and he has to walk in, and he almost falls, and it's filled with danger. And then you see these tombs, and these tombs have black bars that have been ripped open, and tombstones that have been cracked open, and empty graves. And so it is here in this story. We get the impression that Jesus is being not just buried, but he's being locked away, isn't he? We've seen him die in the last daily devotion, and now we see him buried. Now, he's not buried like we think about burial. For us, burial is 6 feet in the ground with a whole bunch of dirt on top. Here, they put people inside of tombs, and so here we find Jesus buried in a tomb, but he's not just buried, but he's dressed. He's not just dressed, but he's locked. He's not just locked, but he's guarded away. And it's a sense in which you get the impression that like these 9 kings who were buried and locked away, lest they ever come back, you get the impression that the same thing's happening with Jesus. They're locking him away to ensure that he never, ever comes back. And of course, this is all part of God's sovereign plan, isn't it? It's all part of what we call his providence, where he uses and controls different people and different groups to bring about his ends. And so God works here to ensure that there is no questions and no doubts to the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. We'll see the resurrection in chapter 28. But before we get there, we see God ensure that there would be no doubts as to the fact that Jesus did in fact die, was buried, and was locked away to never see the light of day again. So notice that it's not the Pharisees that bury him, but it's one of Jesus' own people, Joseph of Arimathea, the rich young or old, we don't know, the rich disciple comes and buries Jesus. And it's important that it's Joseph that does it. Why is that important? Well, firstly, it's not one of the 11 who could have run off with the body. It's not one of the Pharisees who could have made it up, but it's someone separate. It's like a third witness, an eyewitness to this whole affair. But notice how he buries Jesus. And it's very interesting. So he goes to Pilate, he asks for the body in verse 58, and then in 59 he takes the body, he wraps it in a clean linen shroud. Why is that important? Well, if he just decided to wrap him in some old dusty cloths, then when someone comes out of the tomb in dusty cloths, you could say, well, that could be anyone. Anyone could have walked out of the tomb. Obviously, that may sound ludicrous, but if you were seeking to throw doubt, if you were seeking to throw doubt upon the resurrection of Jesus, dusty clothes would be one way to do it. And so he puts them in like brand new cloth, linen cloth that's not stained, it's not dirty, it's perfectly clean, so that way when Jesus is raised from the dead, it will be visible that this indeed was Jesus. And Joseph would be able to say, yes, those are the cloths that I wrapped Jesus in. But then notice that he takes him and puts him in a new tomb. He doesn't put him in an old tomb. Sometimes they had shared family tombs. Sometimes people would pull their money together to buy a tomb in which to bury multiple people. Nope, this is a newly cut tomb. Joseph's a rich man. He can afford to buy his own tomb. So he's got this new tomb sitting there waiting. We don't know if it's for himself or a family member, but he puts Jesus in the freshly cut new tomb. Why is that important? Well, it means Jesus is the only one in there. So whoever comes out of that hole in the ground, that hole in the hill, it can only be Jesus and nobody else. So he takes him, he sticks him in the tomb, and then notice what he does. He rolls a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. He doesn't just sort of put up a wooden barrier leaning against it, but he puts a great big heavy stone. Why? Well, obviously, they would do this very normally because grave robbers was a reality. People would come and rob graves. But not only that, it's to ensure that no one comes and takes and mistreats the body of Jesus. And yet there's also a sense in which, from the outsider, from our perspective, because we know the story, it's also to stop anyone coming out. You see, we see that reality, don't we, in the Pharisees. The Pharisees are terrified that the disciples are going to do something. And so not just in Joseph of Arimathea do we see this hand of God ensuring that there would be no doubts that Jesus is raised from the dead, but we see also in the same thing in the Pharisees. Notice what the Pharisees do. The Pharisees say to Pilate, hey, previously, Jesus said he would come back from the dead. So what the disciples are probably going to do is go and steal Jesus' body. And then they're going to pretend like Jesus rose from the dead. So Pilate says to them, take a guard. So off they go with a guard and they make the tomb as secure as they can. Now, there's a couple of ways they could have done this. One is just having the guard posted there, and that could be all that Pilate means. But the other thing that they would do sometimes is seal it with the sense of like a wax seal. They would put a seal on it, on the edges, so that if the seal was broken, everyone would know that someone had been in there. So if you rolled away the tomb and took Jesus out and rolled the stone back again, they would be able to say, look, you've broken the seal. It's very clear that you've broken the seal. And so the Pharisees are working hard to ensure that the disciples don't steal Jesus. But what they're doing is securing the reality that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. He did in fact rise from the dead. You see, in this very act of their rebellion, they are giving a truth claim to the Christian church. You see, we can look back and say, we know that Jesus was not stolen from the grave. How do we know that? Because 11 disciples don't have the power to go and overtake a guard of Roman specialist soldiers and conquer over them, trained military professionals, conquer them in an attempt to steal the body of Jesus without anyone finding out. See, people often say this today, they'll say the same thing. Oh, Jesus, the disciples just made it up. The thing is, they can't have just made it up. Because if they made it up, then the Pharisees would just go back and get the body of Jesus and pull it out and say, see, here you go. We guarded the tomb and it's still in there. There's your proof. But no one's ever been able to do that. If you want to disprove the resurrection of Christ, please show the church the body of Jesus. And you cannot. No one has not, will not ever show us the body of Christ, because it was sealed away, locked away for 3 days in the darkness, surrounded by despair for Mary, Magdalene, Martha, the disciples. They were not attempting to change the fate. Joseph knew Jesus was dead. And as far as Joseph knew, Jesus was staying dead. And it's in that blackness of the night that the light of Christ shines in chapter 28. And that's always the way Christ works, isn't it? So often, it's when we're in the darkest of times that Christ shines his light into our life. Was it not when your soul was black that he shone his light into your heart and gave birth to a new hope? He's always worked that way, and he continues to work that way today. So the great question for you and I, is, has that light shone into our hearts? Have we put our trust in the one who is locked, sealed, buried, and dead? And yet, behold, he lives now and forevermore. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that though you were locked and sealed away, yet you did not stay dead. And we pray that as we look at you by faith, that we would trust you and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I look forward to seeing you back here, same place, same time tomorrow afternoon, as we enter into the last chapter of Matthew, which is very exciting. Have a great afternoon.